and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis 32, we're going to read the entire chapter. Here it goes. And Jacob went on his way. This is after he ran into Laban. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith, Thus have I sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen, and asses, and flocks, and men servants, and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to this one company and smiteth it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God, my father Abraham, and God, my father Isaac, the Lord which sayest unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colt, 40 kin and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hands of his servant, every drove by themselves, and said unto the servant, "Pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother seeth thee and asketh thee, saying, Who art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also, he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third and all the fall of the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. Afterward I will see his face, and peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. And my life was preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eateth not of the sinew which the shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Dear God, please help us tonight as we seek to see some truth in this passage of Scripture. I pray that you'll use this message to encourage us, to help us to see some things, to help us to learn some things. May we find something that we're seeking, if we're seeking, and I pray that we are. I pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they'll be saved. And for those that do know you as their Savior, dear God, I pray that we'll be better prepared to serve you when we leave than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen. The things that I want us to see tonight are in four ways. Number one, I want us to see Jacob's angels appearing. Now, this is fascinating. It's interesting to study the doctrine of angels, or what we would call angelology. Angels are something that we have a neat sense of familiarity with, and probably we're inquisitive about. We have angels at Christmas time. I'm sure you'll have angels over your house somewhere. There's probably angels somewhere in this church building, and we like angels. We like the idea of angels. I think many a times we get angels wrong. We always make angels to be female. They're always in masculine. I don't know that they have gender, but they're always masculine in by name, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. But we have angels. And angels are real. God just got done dealing with Laban. He told Laban, he said in chapter 31, he says, when you see Jacob, you better not speak good or evil to him. If you do, you're in trouble. Jacob's scared to death. Here comes Laban. I'm in trouble. Laban says, I can't speak good or evil to you, or I'm in trouble. Jacob said, that's good. I'm glad you're in trouble. Jacob didn't understand everything. And then the very first part of this chapter opens up, and the angels, plural, of God came to Jacob, and Jacob saw them. I believe for the first time, Jacob realized why Laban couldn't touch him. See, remember when Brother Van Gelderen talked about the spiritual war? You know, if we were to, if God were to open our spiritual eyes, if God were able to open our, if God would, He's able, if God would open our spiritual eyes, then we would see some things that we would not be familiar with. I think of the prophet. I think it was Elisha. Maybe it was Elijah. And he's hunkered down, and the armies are coming against he and his servant. And the servant's scared to death. And he looks at his servant and says, God, open his eyes. And God opened that servant's eyes, and there were 10,000 angels standing between them and the army. No more worries. It's all going to be okay now. Did you realize that you have an angel too? I really believe that you and I have a guardian angel. As silly as that may sound, or as juvenile as you may think that might be, I believe that we have an angel that God, maybe angels like Jacob, that God appoints to us. God uses them to protect us from a lot of different things. John Wesley, great preacher of yesteryear, was a circuit riding preacher, and in the days that he was going church to church, he traveled by himself, and it was very dangerous. It was a very dangerous time. As a matter of fact, stagecoaches would have to carry men with shotguns on the side, because the highwaymen and the thieves would stop the stagecoach, or they would see a traveler traveling by in themselves, and they would rob them and kill them and take everything that they had with no guilty conscience whatsoever. It was a very scary time to be traveling back in those days. John Wesley had to do it often to go from church to church. One particular evening, he's traveling down this dark and lonely road by himself. He sees, by the way of moonlight, shadows or silhouettes in the distance. They were in the road, and he sees that these two or three men jump behind the trees and bushes. He knew that they were robbers. He knew that they were going to try to harm him. They could even kill him, and he thought about retreating, but it just wasn't his nature to retreat. And so he started to pray. As he was praying, he heard horse hooves coming up behind him. He turns and sees a man riding in a horse, and the gentleman asks, "May I ride with you for a spell?" John Wesley, of course, accepted his company, and those two men, side by side, traveled down that road. Evidently, because there were two men, the highwaymen thought better of not jumping them. The odds were now stacked against them, probably. And so they decided not to jump out and attack these men, so they just let them pass on through. As John Wesley was getting ready to round the bend, he turned to thank the horseman that was riding with him. And when he turned, there was no horse and there was no man. in front, behind, any direction. John Wesley got to meet his angel. Angels. The Bible talks about it. You know, we use passages of scriptures like Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. It says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones," talking about children. "For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels," T-H-E-I-R, the angels that they have been that have been assigned to them, "their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Their angels, guardian angels. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." There's a good chance, maybe even a better chance than not, that you and I have entertained angels and we just didn't know it. You know, angels aren't going to look like, you know, wings and halos and white glowing robe, long blonde flocky hair and blue eyes, and sharp noses, sharp chins. They're not going to look like that. They might look like some, excuse the phrase, bum on the street. They might have long hair and only one arm, and they might smell. And it's just an opportunity, maybe, for you to do it, to treat them right. We just don't know. We should be kind to everybody. We should be kind. But I do believe in angels. I do believe that Jacob got to meet his angels. He calls the place Mahanaim, which I believe means two angels. And for a brief moment, Jacob got to realize that he is protected by God. He's got guardian angels around him, protecting him from Laban. And then he finds out that he's getting ready to meet Esau. So now I see Jacob going back to his old ways. Jacob takes matters into his hands again. That sounds like us, doesn't it? We know God always provides. We know we should trust the Lord. We know we should do this or do that. And yet we get back into our old routine. I wish I didn't, but I'm guilty of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with planning, but I do think it's interesting how God can do such wonderful works and even show Jacob his angels, and he quickly forget about God's protection against Laban and worries now about Esau. I mean, we're not even talking about the next verse. I don't know what time frame that is, but it's not very long. Jacob sees his angels. I don't know, man. If God let me sit down in my house tonight and all of a sudden my guardian angels would just show up and sit on the couch with me and appear to me and start talking to me, I think that would probably be impressive. It would probably make an indent in my mind and in my heart. And yet Jacob quickly forgets. So he starts making plans. All right, I want to break my family up into two. Okay, you take this many animals to Esau. You take this many animals to Esau. Go meet him. Go greet him. Go see how he's doing. They do. They come back. He says, "Hi, he's coming to meet you." He and 400 of his men. Jacob's guardian angels. Jacob starts taking matters into his own hands. But hearing about these 400 men, Jacob makes plans, and then Jacob does what he should have done. He goes to God in prayer. If you look at his prayer between verses 9 and verse 12, you're going to see four interesting things about Jacob's prayer. Number one, Jacob pleads with God, and he pleaded the purpose of God. God, you wanted me to go this way. You told me to leave. Now he's pleading the purpose of God. God, you told me to get up and leave Laban. You told me to come home. I wouldn't be here in this situation if you hadn't told me. Please help. Number two, he pleaded the provisions, or the providence, excuse me. He pleaded the providence of God. God, I'm a wealthy man now. When I came to Laban, I came with just a staff. after 20 years of your provisions and providence, I leave two great multitudes of families, thousands of animals. I'm a billionaire, and it's your fault. He pleads the provisions of God. In your providence, you grew my livestock. God had provided for him over the past 20 years. In God's providence, Jacob was a different man when he came than when he left. The providence of God. He pleads the purposes of God. He pleads the providence of God. He also pleads the protection of God. Two words. Deliver me. That's a great prayer. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Oh, I have. And I want you to know that God has always delivered me. He has not always delivered me like I expected Him to deliver me. Sometimes He's left me in the valley a long time. But everything comes to pass, nothing comes to stay. And the providence of God, the protection of God, the provisions of God, he cries out for God's protection. Deliver me. And God always delivers, and one day He'll permanently deliver me. And then I see that he pleads the promises of God. You promised, God. You promised you would do me good. You promised you would do me great. It kind of reminds me what we learned a couple of weeks ago about faith. You have the promises of God, and so you just go ahead and take them. You go ahead and take the promises of God. God, you promised that you would protect me. You promised that you would make my name great. You promised me that you would be with me. Here I need your help. And so I see the prayer and the pleading of Jacob. And then finally, I want us to see Jacob's victory. Jacob takes care of his family. They go over to Jabbok. He comes back by himself. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. By himself, Jacob gets to meet God face to face. A man shows up and begins to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob and this man wrestle. A wearisome battle all night long. It's not a vision. They're fighting. The sun fixes to come up. The man says, "Let me go." Jacob says, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." "Let me go. I won't let you go unless you bless me." He touches the hollow of his thigh. He takes his hip out of joint. Jacob will not let him go. And the man, God, asks a simple question. What is your name? Everything's come full circle now. Remember back when he was with his mother and father? He went into Isaac. Isaac says, "Who are you?" And what does Jacob say? "I'm Esau." Fast forward 20 years later. The sin of his past, he's confronted with again. "What is your name?" And Jacob has to admit who he is. "My name is Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the usurper. I'm the heel snatcher. I'm the liar. That's who I am." Friend, I want you to know that this is probably the most pivotal point besides Jacob's salvation experience in Jacob's life. Jacob met God at Bethel. But Jacob was broken at Jabbok. What is your name? Hey, you know what needs to happen before God does something miraculous with you and with me? God has to break us. And you and I have to get honest with who we are. Victory Baptist Church will never see revival until the members of Victory Baptist Church start seeing themselves for who they really are. For 20 years, Jacob thought he was a good guy. But this one night, Jacob is faced with the reality of who Jacob is, and it breaks him. I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the liar. I'm the hypocrite. I'm sure flooded memories of the last 20 years came rushing to his mind. And I see Jacob seeing his father Isaac and lying to him and saying his name is Esau. And friend, I want you to know Jacob is met with reality. I liked what John Phillips said about this. Listen to this. This is beautiful. At Bethel, he saw the ladder. At Jabbok, he saw the Lord. At Bethel, he became a believing man. At Jabbok, he became a broken man. At Bethel, he became the Son of God. At Jabbok, he became a saint. At Bethel, he left with a spring in his step. When he went away from Jabbok, he left with a lasting limp. At Bethel, he died to his sins. And at Jabbok, he died to himself. That's good. I could have preached just that. I couldn't wait for Sunday morning to get done with so I could just read that. That's good stuff right there, folks. If you didn't get it, you should get it. Who are you? What is your name? You're going to have to get real with God. Do you think that God already knew this guy's name? He knew who Jacob was. He knew Jacob's name. He needed Jacob to know who Jacob was. And I want you to know, church family, you and I, we need to get serious with God. If we're ever going to see revival, we're never going to see revival in the state that we're in right now because we are too good. If you are wrestling with God tonight, and God were to finally have a hold of you and knock your hip out of joint and says, "What is your name?" With all the pain and the agony and the hurt that you're and the wearisome fight that you have been battling all night long, and you are broken, you'll finally come to the decision of who you are. When God breaks you, you find out who you are. And this is the great news. When God breaks you, that's when He can give you a new name. That's when He can make you somebody different. What is your name? My name's Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the liar. I'm the heel snatcher. Your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel. Do you know what the word Israel means? The word Israel, and I had to look this up in the Hebrew. The word Israel means this. Let me find it here. It's here in my notes. And I want to get it accurate. It's in my notes. I promise it is. One time he gave his name to... The word Israel means this. You will rule as God. The name Israel means you will rule not with God. You will rule as God. You are my prince, God tells Jacob. You're not the deceiver. You're not the liar. You're my prince. You will rule as God. Hey, that reminds me of something I heard a couple of weeks ago in that revival meeting. We are joint heirs. We're not God, us. Joint heirs. My wife and I are buying a house. The bank still owns it. But my wife and I own a house. We are joint heirs. If I die, she gets it. If she dies, I get it. We're joint heirs. My children would inherit it if we both die. But they're not joint heirs. Did you know that you and I, when we became saved, we became the prince of God, we became the children of God, we became joint heirs? We are the bride of Christ. Hey, friend, I want you to know this is a beautiful picture, because when you and I finally get real with who we are and we realize that it's not okay just to be okay, then God can break us. And when God breaks us, we come to the realization of who we really are. And then after God breaks us and we become the realization of who we really are, God gives us a new name and says, now I can do something with you. Now I can do something with you. And let me ask you this, who are you? If you're lost, then the Lord needs to save you. If you're saved, then let the Lord use you. The question that you need to go home and ask yourself this evening, when you're by yourself, alone with your thoughts, just ask yourself this question, who am I? No one will know but you and God. He already knows. But who are you? Are you a person of faith or a person of fear? You a person of trust? Or are you a person of doubt? You a person of sin or of holiness? Who are you? You can fool me. You can fool your spouse. You can even for 20 years fool yourself. But when God starts wrestling with you, you can't fool yourself anymore. And it's just best to come to the realization of who you are so God can change your name and do something mighty with you. Huh. This is the first time we ever have the word Israel mentioned. It's even got its own flag now. The 12 children of Jacob are the children of Israel. Israel is the chosen nation of God. I'm telling you, this is a beautiful picture. There's a difference between Bethel and Jabbok. Where you at? Where you at?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook. Facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.